2 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 5 to 8, and then verse 12. Judah has been unfaithful to the Lord. Judah has gone away from God. And because they have forsaken the Lord, verse 2 of chapter 12 of 2 Chronicles, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, then God brought Shishak, king of Egypt, to attack Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam. And they were defeated. The temple and Jerusalem were attacked, and bondage came, and suffering came, and poverty came to Rehoboam and Judah. And then, verse 5, the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and to the leaders of Judah who had assembled in Jerusalem for fear of Shishak. And he preached to them. And he said this to them, I want you to know, God wants you to know, that the disaster that has come upon us is not political. It is not because of military reasons. The cause of this, let's call a spade, is spiritual. We have forsaken God. You have sinned against God. And Shemaiah, the faithful, brave, bold prophet, spells it out. It is your sin that's done it. And God is angry with you. You have abandoned me, says the Lord. Therefore I now abandon you to Shishak. We need such unpopular, difficult, confrontational preachers. Boldness, boldness. This is what we need. Now what's the reaction? Verse 6. The leaders of Israel and the king of Judah. Israel there means Judah, because Israel is a denomination for Judah very often throughout these historical books. He's speaking about Judah here. These people, what do they do? Did they get angry with Shemaiah? Did they excuse themselves? No, praise the Lord. They humbled themselves and they owned the justness of the Lord's cause. And this is what they said, the Lord is just. God be praised. These people humble themselves. When we get to Manasseh, we'll find that he too, under the word of God, humbled himself. And God was merciful to this people as he was to Manasseh, as we shall find. Look at God's mercy here. When the Lord, verse 7, saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah. He came back again to them. God came back to them through Shemaiah. Since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them. So there was mercy there. And Shemaiah preaches the whole counsel of God. He preaches the judgment. Now he is preaching the mercy. I will not destroy them, but will soon give them deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. You see, it wasn't just Shishak, it was God in this. And God was being merciful. He was judging Judah. Now he was being merciful to them because they had responded to the word of the Lord. But there was an iron fist in the velvet glove. Verse 8, they will, however, become subject to him so that they may learn the difference between serving me and serving the kings of other lands. They're going to have to go through it. They're going to have to learn a lesson here. And then verse 12, because Rehoboam humbled himself, the Lord's anger turned from him, and he was not totally destroyed. Indeed, there was some good in Judah. Well, what do we learn from all this? This is a very, very serious business. We must not trifle with the word of God, because trifling with the word of God is trifling with God himself. Here is Judah, under the Mosaic Covenant. I say the Mosaic Covenant. It's God's covenant given to Israel through Moses, the covenant of Sinai, the law of God. They have all this from God. They have the temple, the sacrifices, the priesthood, the Levites, and all the rest of it. And what are they doing with it? They're playing fast and loose with it. They're trifling with it. And they sin, and God comes in judgment to them. He comes upon them in wrath. And then this faithful preacher, this bold preacher, is raised up to preach the word of God to this people. Not to flatter them, not to fall upon them, not to butter them up, not to make them feel good about themselves and boost their self-esteem and excuse them, but to pierce them with his words from God. We want such preachers today. We need such preachers today. Paul wanted prayer for boldness. You'll find it twice at the end of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Ephesians 6, 19 to 20. Pray for me, he said, that I may have boldness, that I may speak as I should speak. When he went to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, I came in weakness and fear and trembling, but nevertheless, I was resolved, I was determined to preach Christ and him crucified to you. However much I'm ridiculed, we need such preachers. The disciples pray for boldness when they were being attacked. Acts 4, 23 to 31. They didn't pray for the ease of their troubles. Lord, give us boldness to declare your word. We want to be Shemaiahs. We want to be men like this. Brothers and sisters, we need such preachers today. We must demand such preachers today. Let me ask another question. What do we expect from preaching? How do we react to it? Let me tell you what I observe. As I see it, very often preaching and attendance upon preaching is nothing other than a popular entertainment for believers. It passes an hour or two. It's like a tea tasting competition. It's just observing things. It's like watching a DVD. What does it mean? What does it matter? What's the use of it? What does it accomplish? When I was a boy, in the liberal Methodist churches where I lived, there'd be something called PSAs, Pleasant Sunday Afternoons, just gentle diversions, kind of religious diversions, but a pleasant Sunday afternoon. Well, today we get PSMs, PSAs, and PSEs. What do I mean? Pleasant Sunday morning, pleasant Sunday afternoon, pleasant Sunday evening. It's just a pleasant experience. This is the Christian life today. This is what I see for many in preaching. It's just a passing of the time. Oh, for Shemaiahs. Oh, for Rehoboams. For all his faults, at least he responds to the word of God and is humbled and acknowledges his sin. Unbeliever, the good news of the gospel comes to you again and again. I try to repeat it as often as I can to you. But what are you doing with it? Every time you hear the offer of Christ, every time you hear the command of Christ, the call of Christ, the invitation of Christ, however many times you are urged and pleaded with and exhorted to come and trust Christ, these are adding to your judgment and condemnation if you will not respond by coming to Christ in repentance and faith. And the same for us, brother and sister. We assemble under preaching. The preacher delivers the word. If he is faithful and bold, and it makes so little difference to us, we are accountable. Of course, if he has not preached the gospel, he is accountable too. Oh, may God help us to see the seriousness of this. Humbled under the word. That's what they were, and that's what we need today. Sinners and saints, humbled under the word. May God give us preachers. May we hear the word and maybe be humbled under it to act upon it. May God bless this discourse to us for Christ's sake. Amen.